Oh, it's Chris Michaels, Last Call Podcast. Did you see this vote that took place in the Nevada primaries with Nikki Haley? Oh, this has got to have the supporters just bristling with discontent. And by supporters, I mean the Democrat donors and the warmongering Republican side of the Republican Party. There is a primary in Nevada, and that's not the same as what you would normally think. So you have a primary, then you've got a caucus. The primary doesn't matter. The caucus matters. That's where Trump is going to be up for grabs too. So in the primary, they had a couple of candidates out there. They had Nikki Haley, who got 33% of the vote. You had Mike Pence, who got 4% of the vote. Tim Scott, who got about 1.5% of the vote. But do you know which candidate overall got 60% of the Nevada primary vote? Oh, I'll tell you. It is the candidate, quote unquote, none of these candidates. That's right. 60%, 11,710 people decided to say that no, absolutely not. We could care less about Nikki Haley. We certainly don't want Mike Pence. And Tim who? We don't even want anybody on this list. So out you go. This is just beautiful. I mean, this just makes me potentially turgid looking at these numbers, knowing that Nikki Haley is just going down in flames. But there's something else going on here because she keeps raking in the cash. It has been coming in nonstop. It's all from the same people that I referenced a couple of weeks ago. Big-time Democrat donors, big-time Bush donors. You remember the Bush family? Big-time Hillary Clinton donors, warmonger class, same kinds of people that want to clamp down on your civil liberties. She is a Democrat running on a Republican ticket. So the money is going to keep coming in. They're trying to use this as leverage so that they can extend the race so that hopefully Trump, in their perspective, gets indicted and bad things happen to him. And ultimately, they can say, oh, we take the victory. We're going to be the nomination. And do not rule out DeSantis to put another knife in Trump's back in a few months from now, where more than likely Nikki Haley will announce that he is going to be her vice presidential choice. That's going to be huge because, like I said before, even though DeSantis decided to say, I support Trump, he still potentially has a voting block that can be thrown in either direction. And currently, it is haphazardly going to Trump. But if he decides to do what I say, then that could potentially be something to sort of worry about. Not if you're doing a true vote, but if you're using electronic voting machines, then yes, it is something to keep your eye on because these people just won't stop. I don't know if you heard about this. Tucker Carlson went to Moscow, decided to do an interview with Putin. Oh my gosh, he's the biggest Hitler since Donald Trump, since Hitler himself. He's an outrageous warmonger. He invaded the Ukraine. He doesn't care about real journalism. He throws every one of his opponents in prison and keeps them there indefinitely. Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about the Biden administration. So Tucker Carlson interviewed Putin. It's supposed to be a monumental two-hour interview broken down into one-hour increments, and it's going to be on TuckerCarlson.com. Elon Musk already said that he will not censor or reduce the visibility of the link to the interview, and I believe it's also going to be posted on X as well. This is going to be monumental because it is going to show, hopefully, it's not a hit job, hopefully it will show just how wrong the West has been in its attitude and propagandist, dictatorial-style fascism and all of that rhetoric when it's pointed at Russia. Hopefully, we will see some actual journalism and actual truth get out. And if this goes the way I think it will go, Tucker Carlson just made a huge amount of enemies. Why? Because he is going against the intelligence agencies that want to make sure that the United States and the EU and NATO have an enemy just beyond the horizon. And they want this style of narrative to continue. It makes them money. Think about all of the stock, the Boeing stock. Hello, Nikki Haley. Hello, your hideous, disgusting husband. Think about all of the money those companies are making. Think about all of the money and the donations that the Democrats are getting and the warmongering Republicans are making by continuing this style of war. The EU is starting to say, well, this is just completely out of line with what the West should be doing. You had Guy Verhofstadt, former Belgian prime minister and current member of the EU Parliament. He's saying that, well, maybe we should consider a travel ban, an EU travel ban against Tucker Carlson, and also sanction him. Because, according to Guy, he said the real journalists in Russia are in jail or had to flee. Carlson is Putin's mouthpiece and an enemy of everything the U.S. stands for. No more, no less. Oh, I see. So what does the West stand for, Guy? Could it be the neo-Nazis in the Ukraine? Could it be the hundreds of billions of dollars and hundreds of billions of euros that have been going to a neo-Nazi regime? The ones that wear swastikas and have tattoos all over them with swastikas and Hitler and 88 and HH and so on and so forth. Could it be those people? Because, Guy, if that's what the U.S. stands for and if that's what the EU stands for, then I want no part of it. I would sooner stick to the truthfulness, or I would say it is more truthful, the events are more truthful coming out of Putin than anything a Nazi regime would ever come out with. At the same time, you have to figure that if Putin has been in charge for this long, he probably knows where the bodies are buried, and he can't be a leader for this long unless he's a pretty tough guy behind closed doors. Obviously, just like most presidents and most leaders of countries have to be. So that is also something to consider, but please, save the BS, Guy. Nobody cares about you, and we all think your opinion is asinine. I mean, in 1941, they even had a guy interview Hitler. So, I mean, you're talking about when World War II was underway. It started in September of 1939. By 1941, Hitler had taken over France, Italy, was all across North Africa. Syria was part of the problem because, and the Levant, because of the Vichy French. This guy, Pierre Huss, did an interview in occupied Russia with Adolf Hitler. Nobody censored him. Nobody came out and said, oh, we need to put sanctions against him. Hitler took over the whole of Europe, except England. Even Norway, taken over. No. That's fine. But when it comes to Tucker Carlson doing something like this, I mean, this just goes to show you how far removed all of these elites are. They don't care about you. They think there is a set of rules for them and a set of rules for us. And it's painfully apparent. Just look at how these Democrats all across the country have been manipulating everything when it comes to law, when it comes to the DOJ and FBI investigations, equity, on and on. All of the buzzwords. All of the things that involve abusing power, these Democrats and these elites, they love to do it. Every style of law that goes into place is a way to keep you down because you don't know how to navigate the laws. You don't have a team of lawyers. You don't have staff members that can do research. You don't have the ability to contact elite law firms that have their own job being how to get around laws and manipulate those laws to find all of the loopholes. Hello, Martha's Vineyard. I don't know if you saw this. Daily Caller came out with a story, which is, this is just mind-boggling that this is even legal. In the Inflation Reduction Act, there was something that allowed, a little clause in there, that allowed electronic vehicle chargers to be installed and those installation costs to be subsidized by the government, because the areas that these chargers are supposed to be placed in were supposed to be deemed low income. Well, wouldn't you know it? Do you know that Martha's Vineyard is now considered low income? Yes, the same place where Barack Obama lives. Low income. Yes, the same location where they bust in illegals and all of the residents of Martha's Vineyards. Oh, we can't have those urchins here. I mean, America is a lovely place, but we mustn't have them lower the property values of our homes, and we plus it's unsightly. They're unkempt. Get them out of here. Shoo, shoo. And they bust them all off and sent them off to wherever else they can go. So Martha's Vineyard is now considered low income. Oh, yes. The administration's EV charger tax credit program, made possible by the Inflation Reduction Act, is specifically designed to route subsidies to low-income or non-urban areas of the country. Low-income emphasizes for eligibility aligns in spirit with the Biden admin's wider pursuit of so-called environmental justice. Numerous elite hangouts and locales, including Montauk and Fisher's Island in New York and parts of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket in Massachusetts, are now being classified as low income and eligible for receipt of EV charger subsidies. Do you understand how wealthy those locations are? These places are just dripping with cash. Dripping with cash. Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, it's fairly famous places, so you know what that's all about. Montauk, all the way on the east end of Long Island, on the southern fork, beyond all of the Hamptons, used to be a really small fisherman's town. Still have the docks there, but all of the hedge fund kids got really annoyed with the Hamptons, so they decided to just pillage Montauk and make it into a new enclave. No joke, you can find hotel rooms that haven't been updated since the 80s or 70s in some cases go for $600, $700, $800 a night during the summer. That's how rich this area is. 6 years ago, there was a trailer park in Montauk. The plot of land under one trailer, so you're not talking about a big piece of land, went for over $1 million. Montauk also has Camp Hero, which you get the Montauk Project from, and where you get season one of Stranger Things from. That's the kind of wealth that's out in Montauk. I mean, you're talking about places that are so wealthy that you can't even see them from the road, even though it's not a large piece of property. It is just dripping with wealth. And Fisher's Island, for those of you that don't even know what Fisher's Island is, most New Yorkers don't know what Fisher's Island is. It's actually part of New York, but it is right off the coast. It's a few miles, even. It's closer to Connecticut than New York, but it's part of New York. Fisher's Island is home to the incredibly rich dynasties. You're talking about people from the Rockefeller families, Roosevelts, DuPonts. They had homes on Fisher's Island. They probably still do. So these places are now considered low income. I mean, the property value of these things, you're talking about homes that go for $12 million, $20 million, $40 million. You have billionaires that have multiple homes. I mean, I've driven through the Hamptons in the off seasons. These homes are enormous. And on top of that, nobody's there. Do you know why? Because these homes are summer weekend homes. These homes, millions of dollars, are only occupied basically Friday through Sunday from May, June to about the first week of September. That's it. So to tell me that these locations are low income, you are just an idiot. Absolutely stupid to even try to run that up the flagpole. But that's what I'm talking about here. They abuse the law. They don't care about what the laws are. They've got teams of lawyers and wealthy, hyper-elite law firms that they can access to try and get around the laws and find the loopholes in the laws so that they can take advantage of taxpayer dollars. That's what it is. It's a big grift. They don't want you to have the same advantages as they do, and they want to use your money to give themselves a better lifestyle by abusing their positions of power. Hello, Fannie Willis. It has come out that Fannie Willis, this is the whole tryst thing going on down in Georgia, was initially lying about her relationship with the big-time prosecutor going after Trump, Nathan Wade. She paid him 700 grand. Remember that? 700 grand to get Trump. And then all of a sudden, the wife of Mr. Wade started to drop some tasty morsels of what was really going on here. Well, it turns out that we find that the witness will testify, according to Technofog, witness being the wife, I believe, that D.A. Willis and Wade cohabitated at an Airbnb that was paid for by taxpayer money. The safe house was also a romantic getaway. So they're using taxpayer money. They're saying, oh, this is a safe house. We need this in case somebody is in trouble, and we need to hide them from people that are potentially damaging them or could go after them, potentially kill them. Oh, my God. They're using your money as a den of iniquity. That's right. All of the ickiness that goes along with lovemaking splattered across the walls in an Airbnb safe house, care of the taxpayer. And this person is supposed to go after Trump while claiming she is a pillar of justice and unbiased behavior, and she's only following the letter of the law to get Trump to be held accountable for his past sins. It's just stupid. Absolutely stupid. And of course, it's a Democrat doing it. All right. That's it for me. I'll be back as always. It is the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. Do not forget to be the lovable, brilliant, intelligent fuzzballs that you are, engaging in critical thought and wonderful debate. I'll be back tomorrow.